You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you to preview two events this week. We have the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters and the Farmers Insurance Open. Welcome back, Mr. Mike Grenham, after missing last week and missing Jason Duffner winning stateside.
Yeah. We talked about him the week before, didn't we? I think Dave said he wouldn't win for a while, didn't he? Is that what he said?
I said he looked forlorn. Not anymore.
Not anymore, with his big cigar and paycheck.
Yeah. Big win for Duffner.
Big win, yeah. I thought he was on his way back, but I wouldn't have, if I was on last week's podcast, I wouldn't have picked him because I thought it was too much of a birdie fest, this place, you know. The one at the weekend. So fair play to him. He looks as though he's back in the zone to me. So I think he'll have a good year.
Yeah, he struck it brilliantly all week. The putter was cooperative up until Sunday, and then he missed a few on Sunday.
Yeah.
But he
got
built
a few big ones, though,
yeah,
didn't he?
And he'd built that lead as well over the first three days.
Yeah, he held a couple of long, even to get into the playoff was quite a long one, wasn't it? If I remember rightly, so fair play to him.
Yeah, good performance and beat David Lingmuth in the playoff and had to hold a big putt in the playoff just to stay in contention, Dave.
Yeah.
That was a big
that was
moment.
The one, yeah.
Yeah, I put up Lingmuth at 18-1 on the in play on Sunday night. So I was a little bit gutted sort of on two levels. A, because you'd been bigging up Duffner and there he goes and wins before he should have done. He should have waited until the morning.
Yeah.
And then obviously Lingmuth not quite getting the 18-1, but still an each way return. But yeah, Lingmuth's a player, isn't he, as well?
Oh, good player. Very good player. And that was almost a secondary event to the event in Abu Dhabi, and Ricky Fowler, the winner in Abu Dhabi. The work he did on Sunday morning when the players came back after the delay set him up nicely going into that final round. And even though it looked like Mike being a procession at one point after he birdied the opening couple of holes in round four, needed that chip in on 17 to seal the title.
Yes, he did. Thomas Peters was a player that we all like, gave him a real run for his money. And it was a good finish, a good tournament. Good to see so many top players there. And a good win for Fowler, who's now a bit like Jason Day, beginning to shed that tag of not really being a winner. He's got four or five wins, hasn't he, in the last year?
Yeah.
Ditto Day. Those are guys that didn't win enough for me maybe a year ago. But they're now starting to show what they can do.
Golf looks healthy, doesn't it?
You couldn't label either of them with that anymore.
No, you look at that top four in the world now with Jordan Spieth at number one, Jason Day number two, Rory McIlroy number three, and Ricky Fowler in the fourth spot now. We could have a golden few years.
All young players and all sort of got good characters, different characters as well. Yeah, it looks really good, doesn't it?
Mm. It does.
There's other players that can challenge as well. It's not just about those four, is it? You know, they're set apart at the moment. But there's others who may challenge, I think.
Indeed. Let's get stuck into this week then. Two good events coming up this week, and we'll start with the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, where Brandon Grace is at the top of the betting here at 7-1. Sergio Garcia is 8-1. Thomas Peters 16-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 20s. Matthew Fitzpatrick 22-1. Bernd Wiesberger and Chris Wood both 25s, and it's 28s and bigger the remainder. And Dave, we're staying in the desert for the middle week of this swing. And while this event doesn't have maybe the same attraction as Abu Dhabi last week or Dubai next week in terms of personnel appearing at this event, we've still got a top-class championship here. And the first thing to note is it's a Wednesday start and a Saturday finish for this tournament.
Yeah, the Qatari weekend is Friday, Saturday, isn't it? So obviously they want to get as many people through the gates as possible, so they start it on Wednesday. So yeah, you've got to get your bets on by tonight.
You have.
Yeah.
So hopefully you're listening to this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to it on Wednesday, this event started.
Yep. True.
And even though, Mike, we tend to talk about all these desert swing events in the same breath, this one's slightly different because the wind can blow here. Yeah. So it's got a slightly different feel to the other
people
two.
People say that Lynx players play quite well here, and I think there's some truth in that. It is slightly different to the other two, but it's a good event, and it's a good field for all that. It's not quite as highfalutin as last week's.
Yeah, and you're right, the Lynx players do have a good record here. Yeah. Paul Lowry's won a couple
for
of times.
Reason,
Adam
yeah.
Scott's won a couple of times as well. Ernie Els a winner at the venue, and so on and so forth. Mm. And looking at the forecast, Wednesday looks to be pretty consistent throughout the day with winds gusting up to 19, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Thursday, it looks like it could be a little bit different with the winds in the afternoon gusting up to 35 miles an hour from the forecast that I've looked at. The best side of the draw could be a late early, but that could all change as well.
Possibly. I mean, I looked on Monday and it seemed to be 20 miles an hour tops that it was going to get, and then I think it's changed since then, and who's to say it's not going to change again. That's quite, what did you get, 35 miles? I didn't get that
high
when my latest
On the weather2.com, I think it is.
Well, it was on a different weather site.
Gusting up to that,
yeah.
That much.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not going to... You wouldn't want to go all in on just wind players, would you? But it sort of helps if you know your fancy can handle a bit of wind.
Have you got a specific type of player in mind for this week, Mike? This event?
Yeah, I like players who can play well in the links here, as I've said. Maybe players who can hit it a bit of a way, albeit one of them doesn't hit it as far as the other. I would say a bit of distance, and certainly if it does get to 35 miles an hour, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
For any event, so that's going to have an impact. The only thing when it gets so windy is that often they come off, don't they, when it's that windy? It doesn't really have an impact. They just stay off. Like the Open last year, I was dying for them to get out.
I had
all my players in the clubhouse.
That was the same
get out
me.
There.
Especially when Jordan Spieth was out there. I said, you just keep playing.
Keep playing.
Yeah.
It's golf.
I've got a couple of picks for the event, Mike.
Two.
Dave?
Sort of one and one for a double.
Okay. I'll let you lead us off then, Mike.
Okay. My first one isn't as long a hitter as it is. As you might like at this course, but Eddie Pepperell's my first pick, 50-1 shot here. Was fourth in this event last year, so a nice turnout there, and didn't play overly well on his calendar reappearance in the event last weekend, the Abu Dhabi event. Was 46, but before that was 8th in the Alfred Dunhill, so not that long ago since he's had his tournament before last year, had a decent bit of form. Does play well in kind of decent events. Last year he was second in the Irish Open, fifth in the KLM, fourth in the Scottish Open. Quite a bit of good links form there, and I just think he's a player to watch. I like him a lot. He's got the right side of the draw, hopefully early. Let's hope that that's how it is. I just think he's a decent price. I liked his appearance here last year. He's a player with a bit of something about him, and I'm expecting him to have a good year.
Yeah, I like that. Pepperell, Eddie Pepperell, 50-1, Mike's number one pick here. I'm going to go with Alex Norén as my selection. I've got a couple of Scandinavians in mind for this week, and Alex Norén is the first. He's 50-1 in the betting. We've seen numerous players repeat strong performances at this course, so I do think course form is important, and at Doha, and Norén has finished 9th and 4th in the last 2 years at this championship, and has a couple of other top 25s at Doha as well. Gives it a thump off the tee, which is a definite plus around here, and even though his waywardness can catch him out on occasion, it's not really punitive around this venue. You can get away with it off the tee. He's not quite hit the heights since his chest injury that curtailed last season for Alex Norén, but I thought his performance last week in Abu Dhabi was pretty encouraging, and I thought 50-1 he was a nice each way bet. It's worth noting that Swedes have got a good record at this, good history in this event. Joachim Hegman's won here, Henrik Stenson has, and Robert Karlsson has won here as well, and Peter Hansen has been runner up, so hopefully another Swede can close in on the title this year, and it's Alex Norén as my number one pick.
Yeah, jolly good. I'm going for your kind of classic when you think of who's a good links player. I'm not thrilled by his price, but I can't sort of, it's not quite ruined enough for me to think, oh, I'll leave it then. Chris Wood at 25-1.
Okay.
Obviously, he's won this event before. This was the scene of his first win on the European Tour, winning one with an eagle, which is always a sort of fantastic way to close out your first win. We saw him win again last year. He really, really played well at the end of the second half of last season without quite getting the credit for it, I don't think. So I just think with that windy forecast, we can argue whether it's going to be 20 or 30, whatever, but it certainly helps him, doesn't it? I think it certainly might separate him from some of the other players around him who might not be quite as good in the wind or not as proven. Obviously, we know him as a links player for those back-to-back top fives in the Open.
Yes.
I just think it's a perfect course for him. I really do. So I expect Chris Wood to challenge and hopefully maybe get his second win there. We've seen Paul Laurie win there twice. We've seen lots of players. You know, Sergio's got loads of good finishes there.
Adam Scott's won here twice.
Yeah. So I think it is a course where you're looking for some sort of repeat action. I think Wood could be the man.
25-1, Chris Wood, Dave's selection in this event. Mike?
My second pick is also 25-1, like Dave's pick was there. Bernd Wiesberger I've gone for as my second pick.
I thought you were going to stick it to him there. I thought you were going to say my 25-1 shot's actually got a chance this week, though. I was half expecting that when you built. I thought you were building up to that then.
To a jibe.
a little bit of a jab in there.
Yeah, well, I'd fancy Wiesberger more than one, I'm not going to lie. But no, I think Wood's got a chance here this week. I think he might even have been on my longer list. He was, yes. As was Norrin, by the way.
Norrin, oh, was he?
Norrin was one of the last off my list.
Right. He's that's
got
good
a little
news.
Asterisk by him there, which denotes very, nice. Very close. But Wood was on there as well. But not as high as Wiesberger, who is a player that I do like. Another long hitter. Decent greens in regulation man as well. He's top 20 for that. That's a nice combo when you can hit it a long way and hit the greens in the right number, yeah. I always think. Won the French last year, second in the Irish, and had some very good form in this part of the world in 2015, actually, at this time of year when they have this kind of swing. He was sixth in Abu Dhabi, didn't do as well last week there, he's 26th this year, but sixth in Abu Dhabi, third in this event last year, and fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic. So rock solid form at this time of the year and in this geographical location. I'm hoping that he can step up on. His last three outings have been top 25-ish in Dubai, the back end of last year, 25th in the Nedbank, where he shot a horrendous final round, having been in kind of contention for a place, and then 26th, as I said, in Abu Dhabi. So, long hitter, good course form, good form in the location, 25-1, he's a winner, he's Wiesberger.
No, he can play in the wind as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good links player.
25-1, Bernd Wiesberger. I'm going to finish with Mikko Ilonen as my second selection here, also 50-1 along with Alex Norrin. So a couple of Scandinavians, not got that much form in the Open Championship, but he's definitely shown his ability to play on the links and in the wind in the past as well. Drawn to a pretty decent performance in Abu Dhabi last week, where he finished 22nd, finished 9th and 2nd here in the last 2 years, got quite a similar profile to Alex Norrin in many ways. So he's my second pick. Both of them 50-1. I'll go with Mikko Ilonen as the second selection. Again, point each way on both those guys.
Yeah, do you want my second? Mine?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
do a double.
Okay.
So it's fairly obvious. It's going to be Brandon Grace.
Right, okay.
You liked him last week, and last week I said I preferred him for this week.
Because of the texture of the greens.
Yeah, it's grainier greens this week, and a lot of the South Africans find it easier to put on. He kept mentioning it last year, interviews with Sky and on the ASAP Sports Quotes website.
Yeah.
He's just there every week, isn't he, basically, Brandon Grace? So you're almost to the stage where if he's bigger than, you know, 4-1, you almost got a free each way shot at it. Obviously, he won it last year. Proven winner. And he's not far away from another win. Every finish is like a 6th, 5th, 3rd, 4th, something like that. We've seen him play great, didn't we, in the two majors last year that were kind of at links style venues,
yep.
Without actually being pure links. So I just thought 7-1 is a fair price for a sort of part of an each way done. Maybe if you're having other bets, maybe it's a bit skinny, isn't it, to make part of your sort of staking plan. But I think as part of a double,
you're doing an each way double, aren't
you? Yes.
Yeah, okay. winner here last year, 6th year a few years ago, and yeah. As you mentioned, he's placing all the time at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 11th in the world rankings, and there's an interview with him on the European Tour website where he's really keen to burst into that top 10. So I think he might just do it this week with another biggie.
Honourable mentions?
I like Norrin, as you said. Peters is a bit short now, isn't he, at 16s, although this course should suit him. And I like him an awful lot. I think he'll contend in majors this year, I have a feeling.
He was fantastic last week.
Off the tee, he's just immense, isn't
he? Yeah.
It's for miles, and he's putts well.
This looks like it. This looks tailor-made for him.
Yeah,
I know.
I was gutted at his price. I really wanted to back him this week.
If I was having each way doubles this week like you are, I'd be throwing Peters in, I think, at 16-1 this week. I think he's got a tremendous chance. But as you mentioned, we're talking 16-1 as opposed to 50-1, 66-1
last week. Yeah, but he was pickable last week, wasn't he? I was kicking myself that I didn't. I only had one betting running about Joost Louten, who played very well, actually, and gave me a bit of a run for my money. But wouldn't want him to win this week, having not tipped him. He's a favourite. But
His price again, though. You backed him at three figures last week.
I did.
And it's 30s this week.
He just had a little bit of a wobble in the... he went bogey, double bogey, bogey late. I can't remember if it was late in the third round or early in the fourth. Otherwise, he'd have been right there. Did get a share of place, I think. Peter Hansen showed a bit of form, but I'm not having 33-1 about him just yet. Are you?
No.
It's a good field. It's a competitive field. There's a lot of players that catch the eye. I suppose at a long for the a little bit of a bigger price. I can't say his name properly, but Lucas Gerigard.
Yes.
He hits it a mile. I'd rather a bit more than 66 though, because he's slightly gone off the boil, I think.
I quite liked another guy in maybe the same bracket as Peter Hansen right now, George Kutsaya. He's got tremendous form around this golf course, and I think he's gradually coming back.
Yeah, it was another,
definitely.
I mean, you look. There's a lot of sort of nailies for me. I mean, Oosthuizen, if you could guarantee that he's not going to withdraw with a neck injury or something, you might.
You're just never quite sure about his health, are you?
In theory, that 20-1, I mean, he's 20-1 compared to sort of Peters at 16s. I mean, in terms of sort of known class, proven.
Yeah.
You know, he loves it windy as well, doesn't he, Oosthuizen? And so, but there's something that stops you, isn't there? Unless he's played well the week before, you've seen him. Because he's not played since Christmas, so we're guessing, aren't we, a little bit?
You see, this week I'd rather have Peters at 16s than Oosthuizen at 20s.
Oosthuizen's obviously achieved more, hasn't he? But on current form... And Oosthuizen hasn't played very well in the last couple of times he's been here either. I'd be with Peters this week, a man who's banging form, and Oosthuizen, just you want to see him play a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
At his best, you're right, he wins, but 20 wouldn't lure me in.
And we're not sure whether those two guys and their careers are trending in different directions now, are we?
Well, I'd be thinking that they might be, you know. Yeah. Certainly Peters is trending up, and Oosthuizen is...
Well, he'd love it. He lost a player for the Open.
He did.
That's a fair point. But I just he's just that injury.
Somebody have the Daniel Sturridge about him. Fully fit, he'd be magnificent. But
well, he would, wouldn't he? That's exactly it. Yeah, he's a favourite player of mine, but he just isn't fit enough, is he?
No.
Let's move on.
As soon as that changes, if and when it does, you'd be looking at 20s in a tournament like this and licking your lips, wouldn't you?
You would. The Farmers Insurance Open is the other event this week on the PGA Tour, and Jason Day is the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill for this tournament. Ricky Fowler, a winner last week in Abu Dhabi, is 10-1. Brant Snedeker, 18-1. Dustin Johnson is 18-1. Justin Rose is 20s. Phil Mickelson, 20-1. Hideki Matsuyama and Patrick Reed, both 25s. And it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. And good news, Mike, this is where the going gets tough, because we've finally got an event where we might not see low double digits under par win this week, which is nice.
Could be under. Last 2 years it's been 9 under, hasn't it? It used to be more like 16, 18, didn't it? But going back in the years, but the last 2 years played a little bit tougher, and that South Course in particular. Have you been to the South Course, Dave?
I've not, no, but...
I'm you, Dave. Mr. Augusta. Do you want to see my pictures?
I've seen
me
pictures.
At Torrey Pines. Oh, yes, I can give quite an insight into the course.
I wouldn't want to play it, I can tell you that much.
They wouldn't let me anywhere near the first tee, but I did have a little look there last year.
Did you
year.
Sort of get those views off the cliff where you can...
No, I literally, I sneaked in, genuinely, and passed the putting green, as you go in, and had a look at the first tee on both the north and south courses. So my course knowledge is limited, other than it looked quite green and there were trees. and in the distance, the sea.
That's impressive. It's one I'd love to go to.
I can show you the photo at the end of the podcast. Right. Yeah.
It's one I'd love to go to, but not play, because it's an absolute monster, isn't it? The South Course.
The North Course is a bit easier, isn't it?
Yeah. 7,698 yards, longest course used in non-majors each and every year.
Yeah.
And the key has been to make the score on the other course, which is...
Most definitely.
The North Course. And one stat that I loved from Rob Bolton's power rankings this week is that each of the last nine winners submitted a score in the 60s on the North Course. So you've got a score... That's three under par on the North Course.
I don't know if it's the key,
least.
Though, is it? Because it's only one quarter of your rounds.
Yeah, I think it is key.
Well, it helps.
I think if you're not scoring,
you've got to play well on the South.
Yeah, I've got to play well on the South, but I think you've got to build your score so that on the North. If you play badly on the North Course, it's difficult to catch up by making birdies on the South Course.
I don't know what you're saying, I think
I know what you're saying as well. It's important, but not the only thing. Yeah, because three courses on the South Course. Yeah, they're holding the US Open here. That's one thing I did learn on my visit. There was a lot of branding around the clubhouse. Right. I think it might be next year the US Open's there. So that shows you what a course.
Yeah, well, obviously it's the last venue where Tiger
used to love this course, didn't he?
Yeah, got eight wins there, in this and one in the US.
A lovely part of the world. I'd recommend you if you go. Dave wouldn't have been. I knew he wouldn't have been. About Augusta all they like.
You know what, and it's a course where, as you mentioned, Tiger Woods reigned supreme here for many years, but there's a lot of other players that repeat performances here.
Yeah,
it's really a horses for courses venue, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd firmly go along with that. I haven't checked this out, but I have a funny feeling in the back of my head that debutants don't ever win here, do they? You've got to play the course, I think, for a long time. It's not anywhere where anyone who's playing first time has won. I'll have to check that one out after podcast, but definitely horses for courses this place.
I've got a couple of selections this week.
Yeah, one and then the second half of the double.
Okay, and Mike?
Two.
Okay, you lead us off again then, Mike.
I'm going first again. Yep. I've got the honour.
Well, you've been there, haven't you, sir?
Yeah, inside knowledge.
It's kind of my course, you know.
Two of the 36 holes, so Mike knows inside out.
Yeah, yeah. And only from behind the team. You know. Could get any further. JB Holmes is my first pick, and on horses for courses, he seems a pretty good go there. He was second here last year, 23rd the year before. Resurgent JB, had a much better last 18 months, has got wins in Houston and the Wells Fargo. Some good form last year also, second in the Cadillac. Ended the year really nicely as well, actually, with a fourth in the BMW and an eighth in the Tour Championship, then an eighth in the Hero Challenge, what was Tiger's event, we used to call it. And has had a little bit of a pipe opener in the Hyundai, where I'm guessing that he'll have had a nice Christmas and New Year, trotted up for a little bit of a blowout in Hawaii and finished 24th. So steady away, not breaking any pots. But I'm looking for him to go well again. He's a better putter than people realise. I noticed he was 7th in the putting average stats for last season, 2015. So, and he certainly hits it a mile. So JB Holmes is a very sporting price.
He's just been cut, actually. I nearly mentioned this to you when I was spinning through the prices. His downward red arrow popped up onto my screen. Did you see it, Dave?
I saw it, yeah.
I thought, I hope nobody's gone for JB Holmes here, because he's just been clipped into 40s.
Oh, no.
So,
and Tony Finau just went red for a second.
And that literally happened. Full transparency on this podcast. That literally happened just as I was reading through the prices.
I can't take him out.
No, of course not.
No, but... that spoils that a little bit, but I think he's got a great chance.
Yeah,
so,
he was on my list. I think he's got a big, good chance this week.
Yeah, I think he's gonna. Yeah, definitely.
40-1, JB Holmes. Do you want to go next, Dave, or do you want me to fire away?
I'll go next then. I'm going to go with Jamie Lovemark at 50-1.
Okay.
Was a bit of a. Are you?
Yeah, I'm.
You were surprised.
Let me explain.
A little bit surprised. Go on.
Okay. Well,
it's obvious.
There aren't many in this field who've had top tens in each of their last three PGA Tour events. Jamie Lovemark has. He had one at the back end of last year. Then he's opened with tied seventh at the Sony Open, tied sixth last week at the Korea Builder Challenge when he went out in the last group.
Yes.
So obviously that should get him on your radar to begin with. Then you go on jamielovemark.com or whatever his website is, and it says, Lovemark attended Torrey Pines High School.
Did he really?
Whoa! I thought, whoa. Along with Tony Hawk, that skateboarder.
The
man.
Skateboarder.
I don't think
he'll struggle.
He's a bit wild. So you put those two things together. You thought, oh, right, okay. Then you look at his course form. Mike's saying you can't tell it was a debutant. You'd like to think he would have got an invite in his youth.
Yes.
And he did. He played there as an amateur, did well, finished tied 39th on debut. Then you look at the rest of his form. He's made four or five cuts, and it looks a bit kind of, well, is that all that good, tied 40-something and that? But you look at his results that year, and it's kind of his... It's normally like his second best finish of the year.
Right.
But he struggled, didn't he? He came out with a bit of a name because he was a former world number one amateur, and then his career path just stalled. But in relative terms, he's done quite well here. The last time he actually played here, he was tied 28th 2 years ago, when that was his second best finish in 20 events. So you kind of think, well, if he does that when he's struggling, now he's in form.
This could be the time he strikes, perhaps.
He's going to strike again.
How many times has he played here then, Dave? A few?
Five. So he's made the cut four times out of five, which I think is good for, given that he wasn't a great player, obviously, at the time. But, you know, he's got pedigree. He played in Walker Cup, Palmer Cup, former world amateur number one. When he lost a playoff, actually, at the Fries.com in his ninth tour start. Also in that playoff was a certain Ricky Fowler. Obviously, their career paths have diverged, but sometimes it takes players longer, doesn't it, to catch up and get to where people think they are as a pro. Yeah,
there's no doubt in his game. I watched him quite a lot last week, and he's big, tall, strong.
Yeah,
puts well and hits the ball a mile. So yeah, this should suit.
Some of his quotes: "I'm confident the ball's doing what I envisage it doing. Short game has been solid. I feel comfortable right now." He sounds like he's in a good place in his head. He's in a good place for you know, coming home to his home.
But they all say that, Dave, don't they? Don't you think? I quote some players when they say, oh, I'm in a good place.
Well, we've talked about this quite a lot.
That's what golfers are like, isn't it? They you don't ever hear them saying,
well, some aren't so sure. I'm win this you week. Have to, sometimes you've got to know your golfer. Like, if Poulter says it, you just take it with a pinch of salt, because he's always going to be. But some are the other way, and are always moaning about
how they're playing,
this and that. But looking through his transcripts, and there weren't many of them, he does sound the most upbeat he's ever been, and with good reason. So 50-1, and you're probably thinking, oh, we should be more, but the bottom line, if you keep it simple, three top tens in his last three starts, and he's playing on his home course.
Yeah, okay. 50-1, Jamie Lovemark. My guy was 50-1 until a few moments ago. He's 40-1 now.
Oh, no.
Mark Leishman.
Has yours been cut as well?
He has been clipped in from 50s to 40s.
What's going on?
We're in the same boat here.
There's a camera in here. Turn your papers over.
Mark Leishman's
has
my...
Well, he has been clipped in. Because you can see they're both in the...
In that 50 bracket. And then out. Yeah. Yeah.
Dearing
which
me.
Is frustrating, but I've got to stick with him as well, Mark Leishman. And you messaged me saying, surely this is the week you go for Mark Leishman, and it is, because at a venue where course form is so important, it would be remiss of me, having mentioned Leishman on pretty much every podcast this year, not to go for him this week. Put him up at the Sony Open, where he didn't quite have his A game, but finished in 28th, and did miss the cut at La Quinta last week, but his game is perfect for these two courses, as he's demonstrated here in the past. Runner-up in this tournament in 2010, when he was beaten a shot by Ben Crane, and runner-up behind Scott Stallings a couple of years ago as well. Hopefully he'll have found his groove, third consecutive week playing golf, and I like him for this course because of his iron play more than anything. He hits those irons such a long way, Mark Leishman, that he's going in with shorter clubs than a lot of the other players, and I think he could contend at a decent price. Not as decent as it was, but 40-1, I'm happy with Mark Leishman as my number one pick.
Yeah, good pick that, Dave. Yeah, I thought you'd pick him myself this week. I'm going for a player that I think Dave Tindall, you picked quite a bit. Jimmy Walker is my second pick. I thought you might have a look at him this week. Jimmy Walker's got great form here. Three of the last 4 years he's been in the top 10. There was one missed cut sandwich in there, to be fair, to be transparent about it, but 8th, 4th and 7th in the last 4 years here. bouncing back nicely after a fairly moderate end to the 2015 calendar season, whatever that 2014-15 season, whatever you want to call it, did finish eighth.
We need to have some sort of code word for that, don't we?
Yeah, we always struggle with it anyway. Eighth in the Hero Challenge, 10th in Hyundai, and 13th in the Sony. He does play well in Hawaii, so those performances were probably, you'd expect them to be reasonable. So hits it a long way. Good course form. Putting better, I think, again. Yeah. And I think he'll have a big chance this week.
Jimmy Walker, 28-1 here with William Hill. What's the second, before I give my final selection then, what's the second part of the each way Dave Tindall double?
You can probably guess. Jason Day, 7-1. I think he's got a massive chance this week.
Yeah.
Defending champion, second the year before, ninth the year before that.
Tiger. It's not a bad price at all, is it?
I don't think so, no. No, I think it could have been 11-2 or something like that, and you couldn't really have complained. He won four times in six events at the back end of last year. Got rid of the rust at the Hyundai with a nice weekend. I think he's got 69-65. So I think he's ready to go again. One weird little fact is this is the first time he's defended a stroke play event since 2011, which shows just what a non-winner he was for a long time.
He was a non-winner, yeah. He was.
But the one time
we have a colleague who says that we used to mock him for not being a winner.
Yeah,
and I said he wasn't, was he? He'd only won once. Yeah. He about his first and then 8,000 events.
When he broke through in this event last year, having gone such a long time without winning, you thought, oh, it's going to all come to fruition quickly now. Yeah. And he still had to wait 6 months for his subsequent win, and then he just went wild at the end of last season. I suppose the one big imponderable with Jason Day is, does he continue that 2015 form in 2016, or was that just a purple patch?
Very hard to know, isn't it? I rate him very highly as a player, but I thought he overachieved potentially at the end of life. I didn't expect him to do that well. I always thought he had good wins in him. I don't have him at the same level in my own head as Spieth and McIlroy, I suppose, is what I'm saying. I don't know where you place him in your own. He's great, obviously. No, I'm not disparaging him in any way, but
I really like
him.
I mean, he dropped all those hints, hadn't he, in majors? He'd like rat-a-tat with seconds and thirds, and to do that in majors, he's got to be some player. It's his short game, isn't it? If you've got a good short game, majors you're going to show it in that. And whenever he misses a green, I just think he's going to get up and down.
Yep.
Either by a good chip or a good putt.
His putting was incredible at the back end of last year.
But he's got that edge on McIlroy. Spieth's always held up as the putter, but Day's not far behind, you know. He can absolutely get on
At the back end of last season, before that, though, he wasn't putting as quite as well as Spieth. Look how long it's taken him to win three or four events compared to what Spieth has done. You know, he putted very well at the end of last year. He hasn't always putted that well, I would suggest.
But I think his short game, though, is chipping around the green. I just expect him to
get up and down.
He's very talented, isn't he? He's got a lovely feel, I think you're right. I think 7-1's a big price, by the way. I've said all of what I've just said. I just don't. It's going to be really interesting to see, isn't it? Will he carry on this year and do what we think, make it that top four? I'm not quite as keen on him as the other two.
Spieth or McIlroy.
To be world number one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's definitely the company he deserves to keep, though. He's at that level, isn't he?
Yeah, 7-1 he is.
Yeah, so 7-1. So Day at 7-1 and Grace at 7-1 as an each-way double, because I can really see both of them, top five. Not almost a minimum, but I do expect both to be in the top five. Yeah. And then I think there's a good old chance both can actually win.
What do you think this year, Dave?
I kind of agree with you. I'd be with McIlroy and Spieth over Day right now, but I'm intrigued to see how Day performs over the next 3 or 4 months. He could easily prove us wrong, and he could become the number one.
He could,
and the dominant player.
Because he was winning those events by a mile, wasn't he? He was just sort of running away with them.
He was spectacular. At the back end of last year, he was spectacular. Yeah. Do you regard him in the same breath as McIlroy and Spieth right now? Then.
If you've got a podium, he's probably bronze, but near, very close up.
Well, I think we're all on the same page on that then.
Yeah, we all
think he could get there, but you just have him in your own rankings, if there was such
it's
a
kind of
slightly behind him.
An unusual era, isn't it? For him to be that good and to only be considered probably the third best player shows how good it is.
Jason Day, 7-1 part of Dave's each way double. I'm going to finish with Zach Blair in this event as my... as my pick. He's drifted, actually. He was 80-1. He's gone out to 100-1. So it's good news. I'm just going to have half a point each way on Zach Blair here. I was just so impressed with his play at Wylie a couple of weeks ago in the Sony Open when he finished third that I fancied having a small bet on him this week. Doesn't appear to have the perfect fit here given his lack of length from the tee, but Brant Snedeker's won here with a red hot putter, and Blair was sensational with that club en route to a tie for 11th on his course debut last year, which has got to be upgraded.
Yep.
It is difficult to repeat the putting performance he had last year, but it's reasonable to assume as well that his iron play will be slightly better because he was a little bit off with his iron play despite finishing 11th. So I'll definitely take the chance with him, given that good performance a couple of weeks ago at a three-figure price. I like that. 100-1 Zach Blair, half a point each way.
Yeah, he was on my kind of long list as an outsider to look for, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Any other mentions?
Dave, you're going to go first?
Well, we're waiting to who don't you... If it's the who don't you want to win...
We can do both. You can do both together.
It would be Snedeker, I think. I think he's got a big chance this week.
18-1.
Yeah, former winner. Lots of good results here.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah, and he's played really, really well in Hawaii, hasn't he? So I think 18-1's a fair price, and he knows how to win, yeah.
Ooh, Patrick Reed's drifted out to a better price. Didn't play well last weekend, but you couldn't be that surprising, wouldn't it? I really like him.
Yeah.
Scott Piercy could go all right. Graham Dallet just has some interesting form here, but I just 40-1 just was too short.
Yeah.
He never wins, does he?
No.
So I could leave him. And away from that, at a bigger price, you could argue that Shane Lowry's interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say him.
I think he's very interesting.
Seventh last year in this. Mm. When he was kind of like a sort of new kid, wide-eyed kid.
Yeah, and he's won on the PGA Tour now.
He won a WGC event, hasn't he? So he's, you know, he's...
It's just that you felt like he sort of went off the boil at the end of last year. I don't know.
A little... Well, he did.
Yeah.
But he played in the Eurasia Cup, that massive event that they've just had, and got... Played all right there, I think, and he's probably ready for it, isn't he?
Yeah, and you think about short game around here. Tiger Woods, his dominant spell.
Yeah.
There's not many better short game exponents than Lowry. Maybe not absolutely solid on the greens, but in terms of hands,
yeah,
and feel,
lovely chipper, isn't
a
he?
Brilliant yeah. chipper. Yeah. And yeah, I think he could go well at 80s. The one man that I had my eye on was Paul Casey in this field at 50-1. He's got some really good form in California. Finished second in at Riviera last year, seventh at the Fries. Went close at the match play as well. Got into the quarterfinals. I think it was the Cadillac match play. And he's got Luke Donald's old caddy, and that worked really well in the Hero World Challenge where
not his brother, the one after his brother.
Yeah, the one after his brother.
Right, yeah.
McLaren is it? I think.
Yeah,
I think. And he's 50-1. I thought that was reasonable for Paul Casey this week.
I think Griot won, either won like the World Amateur or the World Juniors at this course.
Right. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's another one.
What price is he? 40s.
40s. Mm-hmm. I think if he'd been 50, 60, 60s, I might, but 40s is...
Yeah.
I know it's at a very big price and I can't even see where he is. It might be about 150s. Ryo Ishikawa's got a couple of decent finishes here in the last 4 years. Either misses the cut or finishes.
Yeah, he's 150.
And he was first and second a little while ago in lesser events, but yeah, it was one day he'll have a good run in a tournament, won't he, I suppose.
Yeah.
150 might give you a run.
Let's wrap it up then. Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike? Who came closest for you?
Oh, now that's a good question, Dave. I don't really know.
I'll jump in while Mike thinks and go with Snedeker.
Yeah, 18-1.
A pretty obvious winner.
I think I'd go with Paul Casey at 50-1 as my guy that I don't want to win this week.
I'd go Loughton maybe in the European event, and in the American, Patrick Reed maybe.
Yeah. Selections then, chaps, just to finish. I'll go a point each way, Alex Noren at 50-1 in Qatar, and a point each way, Mikko Willinen, same price in Qatar. Mike?
I'll have a point each way on the two that I picked. I can't even remember what they're called. Bernd Wiesberger, so long ago. Bernd Wiesberger at 25-1, and the other fella, Eddie Pepperell at...
Yep.
What was he, 50s?
Yeah, Eddie Pepperell was 50-1.
Yeah, those two.
There you go. Dave in Qatar?
Yeah, a point each way, Chris Wood at 25s, and a point each way, Jamie Lovemark in the Californian one, and then that double.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what point stake? Each way, half a point each way, double.
271 shots. If it wins, I'm looking at, what, 56?
Yeah.
Yeah, point each way double.
Point each way double on Braden Grace and Jason Day, both of them in the market.
Have you picked your American
ones
yet?
I've not. I'll give my American ones. Point each way, Mark Leishman, 50-1. Half a point each way, Zach Blair, 80-1.
And I've got JB Holmes and Jimmy Walker at 40s. That's disappointing, isn't it? And 28s. But got to keep with them now.
Got to stick with
them.
We're
in now.
Got to stick with them. Thank you for your company on this edition of the Golf Podcast, folks. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Make sure you check out this podcast either on audioboom.com or subscribe on iTunes by typing in William Hill. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back next week. We'll speak soon, folks. Remember, the Qatar Masters starts Wednesday and the Farmers Insurance starts Thursday on the PGA Tour. Goodbye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.